from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirmed bid plan ahead is human resource development. President Joko Widodo said, never be careless about guarding the Pancasila. Now the news in detail. As commitment to creating good quality human resources, the government under President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla has increased budget allocations directly related to human resource development, especially education, health, and social protection, in the 2019 state budget. To the media after visiting and observing University of Aisyah, Yogyakarta, or UNISA in Sleman Regency recently, President Joko Widodo pointed out that this visit was intended to see matters relating to the human resource development. Aisyah is a Muhammadiyah women's autonomous organization founded on May 19, 1917 by Nyai Ahmad Dahlan, wife of the founder of Muhammadiyah, Kiai Ahmad Dahlan. President Joko Widodo reminded all elements of the nation not to be careless about guarding Pancasila and applying it to everyday life. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo when opening the National Chamber of State Defense of the Communication Forum for the Sons and Daughters of Retired TNI and Polri, FKPPI, in 2018 at Ragunan Campsite in East Jakarta on Friday. He asked all elements of the nation not to provide space for the entry of foreign ideology. He perceived that Indonesia must be grateful. For 73 years, Indonesia has continued to unite and move forward because it has Pancasila. In the state of Pancasila, diversity is a source of unity instead of division. The president also remarked that the task of defending the country is noisy. It is not enough to just gather the masses, but it must be done with real work. Deputy Chairperson of the People's Council Assembly in PR, E.E. Mangandiant, accompanied by several members of the House Representatives DPR faction, visited health facilities and sports in Sangihe District, North Sulawesi, bordering with the Philippines. Through a press release received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, he said that the welfare of the border communities need to be paid attention. He also remarked that the border area is an important and strategic area that needs to be visited and observed, so that what is needed by the local community could be known. The health facilities visited are the primary hospital, Enama Wira Health Center, and Luin Kenange Hospital, while the sport facilities visited are Peta and Tahuna. Of all the visits he made, Mangandian, as a former governor of North Sulawesi, also stated that many problems need to be resolved in the Indonesian-Philippine border region. The NPR is very serious in observing the Indonesian borders with other countries such as in Kalimantan, Papua, East Nusa Tenggara, and Sumatra. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Ian Fajar officially closed the 11th Bali Democracy Forum in 2018 in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. At the closing ceremony, he read the chair's statement as a conclusion of the entire implementation of BDF, which lasted for 2 days. He viewed that there are three main points that became BDF's final conclusion. The first point is the challenge of implementing democracy that provides prosperity for all. In this regard, Indonesia offers an inclusive democratic solution that can be united. To achieve it, according to Fajar, all stakeholders must be able to participate, including the private sector, the younger generation, and women. The second point is that good governance stability is the key to functioning democracy. Public consultation allows the government to obtain the views and aspirations of its citizens. In addition, adopting innovation for technology will encourage economic growth. In turn, having economic growth is important in stabilizing and maintaining democracy. The third point is that democratic values cannot be measured by monetary values. Democracy is a thing that continues so that prosperity is reflected in the people's welfare.
Yang juga cukup berperan adalah teknologi informasi.
What is also quite important is information technology, and certainly millennial is also a part of it. Democracy continues to take place. It doesn't stop, and it is certainly expected that all can be involved in discussing democracy.
The closing of the BDF also presented the result of the second Bali Democracy Student Conference, BDSC, and the Bali Civil Society and Media Forum, BCSMF. According to Fajar, student conferences show that youth and education are two variables that cannot be separated to create positive change in society and contribute to the realization of democracy and prosperity that are inclusive. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia and Fajar officially opened the meeting of high panel of the Association of Indian Ocean Countries, AYORA, with the theme Enhancement of Maritime Cooperation for Inclusive Growth in the Indian Ocean in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. He said that there were several priorities expected to be achieved at the high-level meeting. The priorities cover various fields, especially for developing the economic potential of AYORA member countries.
Ada enam prioritas yang dicoba diterjemahkan melalui.
There are six priorities tried to be translated through this high-level panel meeting in the fields of security, environment, trade, connectivity, and tourism. The clear point is economic cooperation and how to develop its economic potential.
The meeting of the high panel of the Association of Indian Ocean Cycles, AYORA, which was held for 2 days, was attended by 20 participating countries such as Australia, India, and Iran, Seychelles, and Tanzania. The meeting was also attended by 9 dialogue partner countries, APEC representatives, the Pacific Island Forum, PIF, and the Millennium Countries Group, MSG. Chairperson of the State Defense Agency of Communication Forum for the Sons and Daughters of Retired TNI and Polri, FKPPI, Bambang Susatyo, says that Indonesia faces the threat of ideological warfare. This was stated by Bambang Susatyo in the opening ceremony of the FKPPI State Martial Art Jamboree in Ragunan Campsite, East Jakarta, on Friday. Bambang, who is also concurrently Speaker of the House of Representatives, pointed out that Indonesia faces not only the threat of physical warfare in other countries, but also modern warfare managed by proxy war. In facing such threats, state defense is an obligation for all Indonesian citizens. The socialization of the four national pillars, the five state principle Pancasila, the unity in diversity Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, the 1945 Constitution, and the unitary state of Republic of Indonesia must not be ignored. The National Jamboree that lasts 7 until 9 December 2018 is attended by 1,350 cadres from all over Indonesia. They get insight about the Pancasila ideology, the potential tricks, challenges, obstacles and disturbances, national insight, issues of defense and security, physical training and future. The last item, Deputy Chairman of Indonesian Parliament, Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency, BKSAP, Ropi Munawar urged the protection and fulfillment of migrant workers' rights. This statement was compared by Ropi Munawar in his written statement in Jakarta on Friday at the World Parliamentary Meeting on the Ratification of the Global Compact on Migration, GCMT, in Rabat, Morocco on December 6 until 7, 2018. He viewed that until now, Indonesian migrant workers face human rights violations, not only physical violence, but also unfair treatment. Thus, the Indonesian parliament in inter-parliamentary forums always voices the importance of legitimate and fair employment contracts for professional and domestic workers. Ropi also explained that the Indonesian government has provided various inputs during the GCM negotiation process, such as the importance of preventing the criminalization of illegal migrant workers. The World Parliament meeting on the ratification of the GCMT was initiated by the Inter-Parliamentary Union, IPU, in collaboration with the Parliament of Kingdom of Morocco. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
This is Editor Voice Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news from across the country. A weekly segment presenting news from various regions from Indonesia in a week. I'll start with the first news from Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini M. Sumarno inaugurated a tourist vessel, the Komodo Crossing Motorboat, and a pier on Rinca Island in Labuan Bajo, West Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara, on Friday. With the presence of the Komodo speedboat managed by PT ASDP Indonesia Ferry, tourists can take advantage of safe, comfortable, and affordable sea transportation to Komodo Island, Padar Island, and Pink Beach. The presence of the speedboat and Rinca Island Pier is expected to support the progress of local tourism and economic growth. The pier on Rinca Island in the province of East Nusa Tenggara was built for local residents from the synergy of six state-owned enterprises and costs 4.38 billion rupiah. The existence of the new pier allows large-sized ships, including speedboats, to dock at Rinca Island. The next news came from Batam, Riau Island. Batam International Culture Carnival, BICC, held by the Indonesian Archipelago Carnival Association in collaboration with the Batam Concession Agency, received appreciation from the international tourism. The chairman of the BICC committee, Dendi Gusti Nandar, on Batam Friday, said that currently there are hundreds of foreign tourists who plan to attend the international level event. He said in 2017, the first time the BICC was held, it immediately received appreciation from the international tourism. The chairperson of the Regional Leadership Council of the Indonesian Carnival Association of the Riau Islands Province, Sylvia Hilda Kusumaningtyas, said this year, the BICC presented five cultures from five countries, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, India, and China. Sylvia added that the activity was attended by 300 participants from the cities of Batam, Tanjung Pinang, Karimun, and Lingga Regency, featuring various themes, among others Wayang Nusantara, Suku Laut, Agroculture, and Recycling. This news came from Bandar Lampung, Lampung Province. Governor of Lampung Province Muhammad Rido Fikardo continued to introduce Lampung Robusta Coffee to Eastern Europe, especially Croatia. This breakthrough was conducted considering the Croatian people are great coffee consumers. The Indonesian ambassador to Croatia, Syahrudin Zepe, in Bandar Lampung, Friday December 7th, said Robusta Coffee had great opportunities in Eastern Europe, especially Croatia. Coffee is consumed by Croats every day. Well, listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listeners, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first information is about the USA declaration of war on Japan. The US neutrality in World War II changed when Japanese warships dispatched their aircraft to attack and destroy the US military base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii on 7th of December 1981 during the process of ending Japanese expansion in ASEAN region. One day post-attack, namely on December the 8th, 1941, the USA declared war on Japan after a decision was approved by the US Congress. The next event is about Rebellion of Brunei, which broke out on December the 8th, 1992. The Rebellion of Brunei was carried out by Yasin Afandi as the leader and his armed members. Rebels started attacking the oil city, Seria. They wanted to take over Shell's oil installation. The rebels also attacked police station and some government facilities surrounding the protectorate. The last information is about the murder of the legendary singer John Lennon. On December the 8th, 1980, John Lennon, the Beatles' famous singer who influenced his fans about ideology and politics, was shot dead by a man named Mark David Chapman. Mark shot Lennon when he was outside his apartment in New York, the USA. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on government lowers palm oil export rates. The Indonesian government, through the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, has again changed the rules for the export of crude palm oil. Secretary of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Susi Widiono Mugiarso, said the new regulation had been issued by the Minister of Finance on Tuesday, December the 4th. In a press conference at the Office of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Central Jakarta, on Wednesday, December the 5th, Susi Widiono explained, in the new rules, the amount of tariffs of levies imposed on CPO exports and their derivative products varied. He added the reason issued this regulation was because CPO prices were still very low. Through this policy, it is expected to encourage export activities of domestic companies. In the future, these levies can change according to developments in the international prices. Previously, the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said that the decision to reduce levy rates because the current CPO price had dropped to around $420 per ton from $530 per ton last week. The drastic decline in prices was a concern of the government and stakeholders because the price of CPO was already lower than the production cost that had been incurred by entrepreneurs.
Meanwhile, the Ministry of Agriculture confirmed that the government's decision to remove export palm oil export levies would not disrupt the replanting program. The Director General of Plantations at the Ministry of Agriculture, Bambang, said the Palm Oil Plantation Fund Management Agency, as the executor, still had sufficient funds to implement the program. According to Bambang, until the end of semester 1, 2018, the agency has distributed rejuvenation funds to more than 5,000 farmers for a land area of more than 12,000 hectares with a value of more than 288 billion rupiah. That was my Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. As commitment to creating good quality human resources, the government under President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla has increased budget allocation directly to human resource development, especially education, health, and social protection in the 2019 state budget. President Joko Widodo reminded all elements of the nation not to be careless about guarding Pancasila and applying it to everyday life. This was affirmed by President Joko Widodo when opening the National Chamber of State Defense of the Communication Forum for the Sons and Daughters of Retired Tier 9 Polri, FKPPI, in 2018 at Ragunan Campsite in East Jakarta on Friday. Deputy Chairman of the People Consult Assembly in PR, Mangindaan, accompanied by several members of the House of Representatives DPR faction, visited health facilities and ports in Sangihe District, North Sulawesi, bordering with the Philippines. Deputy Minister Foreign Affairs Ian Fajir officially closed the 11th Bali Democracy Forum in 2018 in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. At the closing ceremony, he read the chair statement as a conclusion of the entire implementation of the BDF, which lasted for 2 days. Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of Republic of Indonesia and Fajir officially opened the meeting of high panel of the Association of Indian Ocean Countries (AYORA) with the theme Enhancement of Maritime Cooperation for Inclusive Growth in Indian Ocean in Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday. Chairperson of the State Defense Agency of Communication Forum for the Son and Daughters of the Retired Tier 9 Polri, FKPPI, Bambang Susatyo, says that Indonesia faces the threat of ideological warfare. Deputy Chairman of Indonesian Parliament Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Agency, BKSAP, Ropi Munawar, urged the protection and fulfillment of the migrant workers' rights. This statement was compared by Ropi Anwar in his written statement in Jakarta on Friday at the World Parliamentary Meeting on the Ratification of Global Compact on Migration, GCM, in Rabat, Morocco on December 6 and 7, 2018. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to visit Kletekan Bay in Malang, East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, Malang is an enchanting destination to visit. As one of regencies in East Java, Malang is popular for its nature tourism. Located on high land, the city has cool and cold climate. In Malang, you will be pampered by various attractive tourism objects. In addition, Malang has a number of remarkable beaches. One of them is Kletekan Bay. Thank you. listeners, Kletekan Bay is one of interesting tourism objects. It is located at Lenggok Sono Village, Purwodadi, Triudo in Malang Regency, East Java Province. It takes time and energy to be able to reach the destination. When you arrive at Lenggok Sono Village, Purwodadi, there are several ways that you can take to reach the bay. First, from Lenggok Sono Beach, you can rent fisherman's boat, which costs 50,000 rupiah per person. If you love adventure, you can try land road, such as by walking or riding motorcycle. Even though land road is cheaper, the option is very risky and it challenges your adrenaline. The Kletekan Bay tourism object opens every day for 24 hours, including weekends. However, if you want to rent boat, you must come around 7 a.m. You do not need to pay entrance ticket to enter Kletekan Bay. Once you arrive at the object after having a long and exhausting trip, your struggle will be paid off by the spectacular view that you will never find elsewhere. Here, you can try various activities. Take for example, snorkeling has successfully attracted more visitors to try it. Kletekan Bay is famous for its marine creatures. At 7 meters depth, sunlight can still penetrate the bottom of the sea so that it is possible to witness coral reefs and colorful fish swimming around. As you get closer to the seaside, the water looks greener and clearer. On the edge of the bay, there are coral reefs where visitors can see dozens of snails. From these reefs, you can also jump to the sea. After having tried snorkeling and other activities in Kletekan Bay, in the evening, you will be mesmerized by the orange color of the twilight combined with the blue sea. Before visiting Kletekan Bay, please make sure to bring your personal belongings such as food, drink, clothes, and medicine. Do not forget to bring your camera too, so that you can capture remarkable moments in the object with your family and friends. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today about Kletekan Bay. I'm Putri Safiti Adela. Thank you for listening and see you on our next edition. Still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRW Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In this edition, I will bring you some information about the Indonesian choir which won perfect score at the International Chorus Insight Advent Festival in Italy. So stay tuned into RRW Service Voice of Indonesia that you can listen to via shortwave on 3325 kHz, streaming at www.voinews.id or RRW Play application on your smartphone. Indonesia once again can be proud of its youth who have brought fame to the nation. Young people from Indonesia who are members of the Jakarta Youth Choir, JYC, won 5 awards at the 34th International Chorus Insight Advent Festival, a choir competition that took place from 1 until 3rd of December 2018 at the Pantheon, Rome, Italy. The Jakarta Youth Choir itself is an organization focused on the field of choir art under the auspices of the Jakarta Provincial Youth and Sports Agency. This organization was formed in 2015 by Septo Adi Krisanto. Members of the Jakarta Youth Choir themselves come from various circles. They are university and high school students, employees from state-owned and private companies, also government agencies. In the 34th International Chorus Insight Advent Festival, the Jakarta Youth Choir had to face participants from 8 other countries, namely Italy, France, Croatia, the United States, Romania, Ghana, Russia, and Poland. The performance of the Jakarta Youth Choir in the festival managed to impress the judges and spectators. In its performance, the Jakarta Youth Choir presented Indonesian regional songs such as Soleram, Jali Jali, Toki Tifa, Hela Rotan, Bungung Jumpa, and Yamko Rambe Yamko, as well as other popular songs like O Natalox, Cantat Domino, and Gloria Patri. Thanks to excellent performance and also supported by attractive costumes and choreography, Jakarta Youth Choir won awards in 5 categories, namely Champion Folklore category, Golden Mix category diploma in music and choreography, and special award for Best Choreography and Best Conductor, Septo Adi Krisanto Simanjuntak. Jakarta Youth Choir was also named the overall champion with the acquisition of perfect scores, namely 30/30. This is the first time the jury has given a perfect score to any participants. That was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic of Indonesian choir won a perfect score at the International Chorus Insight Advent Festival in Italy. We will meet again in the next Miscellany edition. Bye now!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back to Music Corner, a segment presenting information about Indonesian music. In today's edition, we will present you songs from an Indonesian group band named Geisha. To initiate our segment, let's listen to a song entitled Kering Air Mataku. Enjoy listening.
Terlambat untuk kamu sadari mengulang rasa cinta itu lagi, meradang hatiku karenamu, menahan rindu yang tak sudah-sudah. Bukan lagi kamusku mengulang semua rindu. Berat hati jika harus kembali. Sudah kering air. air mataku tersiksa merindukanmu. Sumpah mati kau rusak jiwaku saat ini. Terlambat untuk kamu mengerti indahnya rasa cinta itu lagi.
Listeners, you have just listened to Kering Air Mataku by Geisha. The song tells about a woman who has been waiting for her lover for a long time, but he has not come yet. The woman cannot bear the prolonged and painful longing anymore. Through the song Kering Air Mataku, Geisha wants to introduce her new vocalist named Regina Poitrai. Before joining Geisha, Regina had participated in talent shows. She admitted that she did not encounter difficulty to adapt with Geisha. However, Regina's presence confused Geisha's fans because they did not know that Geisha's former vocalist Momo had left the group. Listeners, let's listen to the next song by Geisha entitled Kembali Pulang.
Seakan berhenti berputar sejak kamu menghilang. Entah mengapa senyumku terkunci, terjebak di ujung tangis. Karena satu, ku nyaman di sampingmu, atau dua, ku jadi diriku sendiri. Mungkin tiga, kamu yang paling mengertiku. Cukup kamu yang ku inginkan. Sayang, kembali ke dalam hati ini, walau kau mendendam. Sayang, kembalilah pulang ke dalam pelukan. walau remuk redam. Sumpah aku tak rela melepasmu, apapun alasannya. Tanggung jawab mataku terus menangis, itu ke dalam hati ini, walau kau mendendam. Sayang, kembalilah pulang ke dalam pelukanku, walau kau mendendam. Oh, ke dalam dekapanku, walau
listeners, you have just listened to a song entitled Kembali Pulang by Geisha. According to Geisha, the song Kembali Pulang talks about couples who split because they could not resolve their problems. The song advises us to spare our time with our partners, particularly when we have problems with them. The single Kembali Pulang is Geisha's second song with Regina as the vocalist. Regina told that she has to learn the song in order to get the emotion during the preparation of the recording. The result turned out to be great. Some media told that Regina successfully evokes emotion when singing Kembali Pulang. Listeners, to wrap our segment, let's listen to the last two songs by Geisha, entitled Mustahil Untuk Bersama and Aku Harus Sendiri. I'm Putri Safirella. Thank you for listening and see you on our next edition. Bye-bye.
Cinta ini bersemi, lelah aku tersiksa. Tutup semua cerita, waktu yang telah berlalu, tak akan ada jalan. Jika harus berpisah, ya sudah. Jika harus menangis, menangislah. Tutup semua cerita, waktu yang telah berlalu, tak mungkin ada jalan. Tak usah lagi ke
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's sound.
Terpaksa aku sendiri, sementara saja kini. Bersabarkan datang hari, meskipun ku lelah. Aku
takut kamu tak mengerti caraku sampaikan rasa ini. Kamu tak mengerti, ajarkan aku tuh bisa dapat ungkapkan rasa agar kamu kan percaya begitu ku butuh cinta. Kembali lagi terulang, tergores hatiku ini setelah lama menyimpan rasa ini terlalu. Ajarkan aku tuh bisa dapat merangkai kata agar kamu kan dengarkan bibirku katakan cinta. Tak mengerti.
Jika kau ingin membenciku, tak mengapa. Jika kau ingin mendengarku, tak mengapa. Ku telah coba semua ku terima tak skalanya. Jika kau ingin membenciku, tak mengapa. Jika kau ingin mendengarku, tak mengapa. Ku telah coba semua ku terima. Tak segalanya indah, tak segalanya. Tak segalanya
selamanya. Caramu yang membuat diriku jauh kecewa di dalam hatiku. Ku tak mengerti.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.